Good morning, everybody. It's Sunday, the 19th of April, and we're continuing our series in Philippians, picking up from where we left off after Easter. And so I'm going to read from Philippians chapter 4, just a couple of verses this morning, from this chapter. Good to be back with you after a few days off. So I hope that this finds you well. And managing lockdown, as always, do get in touch if there's any way that we can be assistance. So, Philippians chapter 4, verses 2 and 3. I plead with Euodia and I plead with Syntyche to be of the same mind in the Lord. Yes, and I ask you, my true companion, help these women, since they have contended at my side to the cause of the gospel, along with Clement and the rest of my co-workers, whose names are in the book of life. People disagree about all kinds of things. At the moment, people are disagreeing about what the best way forward is in the current COVID-19 crisis. Apparently there were some sharp disagreements in cabinet meetings this week about how far the lockdown should be extended. Disagreement is inevitable because we're all different. We have our own views. Those views would have been formed by our personality, by our education, by our family background, by our experience of the world, by the media and a host of other influences. So when we talk about things with people whose views are different, then we may end up disagreeing. So given that disagreement is going to happen, how do we live with it? How do we adapt? We have to, don't we? If we only interact with people we agree with completely, we very soon find ourselves in a bubble of our own, and that doesn't work. To return to the example of the cabinet, in order to present a clear, unified message to the people, they would have needed to hammer out their differences and come to some kind of compromise. So that's what we all do. We try to find some common ground, a common purpose, that enables us to go on in life despite our disagreements. Church is not exempt from this. We will all have different opinions on all kinds of things. That's why there are so many different kinds of churches. But even within an individual congregation, we're not all the same. We have to get along. And basically, we set our differences aside to unite behind the gospel, the good news of Jesus, that we're called to tell the world. And we know, don't we, that we mustn't allow our disagreements to stop us from doing that, because the world's need to know Jesus is far more important than the things we disagree about. Sometimes disagreements in churches can't easily be set aside. They get out of hand and start to stop church working effectively. And that's the background to Paul's remarks in Philippians 4, 2-3. We're into the final few talks in our series on Philippians and Paul is drawing to a close. But this is an issue that he needs to confront. It can't wait for the next letter, nor can it wait for when he can visit in person. Euodia and Syntyche need to sort out their disagreement. Now, this letter was for the whole of the Philippian church, so it wouldn't have been news to them that these two women weren't getting along. It would have been common knowledge. We're not told what the disagreement was about, nor do we know anything more about who these two women were or what happened to them. But from how Paul approaches the issue, we can learn a lot about the nature of disagreement and how to deal with it when it gets out of hand. So I'm going to make 4 points about disagreement, and particularly disagreement in the context of church. Firstly, disagreement is serious and cannot be ignored. Maybe it's a particularly English trait to find disagreement embarrassing. If two people are having an argument, we tend to look the other way or shuffle out of earshot. Confrontation is difficult and we often don't like it. We tend to say things like, take some time to cool off, sleep on it, it will sort itself out. Or, Euodia was having a bad day. Don't make too much of it. Sometimes that is all that is needed. but often that's not the case. Persistent disagreement between two people needs to be addressed. That's why Paul mentions in his letter, and why he uses this really strong verb, plead. It sounds like this disagreement is nothing new, and gentle approaches haven't worked. Paul wants to convey his burning desire for these two people to come to an agreement. Secondly, disagreement has two sides, and both sides can take the first step to reconciliation. Notice the unusual sentence structure. Paul repeats exactly the same thing to both Iodia and Syntyche. He doesn't take sides or try to find out who is most at fault. He makes it clear that they both have a responsibility to take action. And that's true in all disagreements. It may be that, you know, person A is more at fault than person B. But nevertheless, it's, you know, both sides. One of the things I sometimes say to my children, not what it has, was a huge amount of effect, where they say, oh, well, he started it. To which I say, yeah, well, you can finish it. In a disagreement, both sides can take action. And because of its serious nature, we've already outlined, because this is stopping the ministry of the church, let's get on with it as soon as possible, rather than waiting for the other person to make the move. Thirdly, resolving disagreement can need a third person to mediate. Paul urges an unknown leader in the church, probably the person who would have received a letter on behalf of the church, whom he describes as a loyal companion. The actual basic meaning of the word is yoke fellow, somebody who works alongside you, like two oxen at a plough. So this is somebody who clearly was a leader in the church, somebody who Paul trusted, somebody who Paul had worked with closely. And sometimes disagreement can become really painful and hurtful. And the pain and the hurt can prevent us from seeing our own actions and those of the other person clearly. We get things out of perspective. And sometimes, even though we know we need to pick up the phone or approach the other person, we just can't bring ourselves to do it. This is where a third person, trusted by both parties, can be the means of them being brought together and to a place of reconciliation. Fourthly, and this is the most important of the point of all, the gospel of Jesus Christ gives us the means to reconciliation and the reason for it. You see, the world can manage reconciliation, but that's often down to really skilled mediators. And we can see examples of where huge barriers remain between different communities. Peace process in Northern Ireland, for example, has achieved a huge amount in bringing Republican and Loyalist communities together. But have centuries of mistrust and prejudice been eradicated? No. There are still parts of Belfast where people of both communities don't feel safe. But in the church, we can and should be different. Paul says that these two women need to agree in the Lord. What does that mean? It means, firstly, that the Lord Jesus came to everyone. He bled and died on the cross for everyone. So when we come into church, we have a fundamental equality, a fundamental common bond, which is that we're all sinners whom God has forgiven by the precious blood of his Son. God has reconciled us to himself, despite the enormity of our offence against him, our rejection of his goodness by trying to live our lives without him. So how can we not be reconciled with each other? Iodia and Syntyche weren't on the edge of a church, they were key members. They've been active with Paul in building the church in Philippi. They knew God's grace. Their names, we are told, were written in the book of life. To be reconciled with each other flows out from the gospel that unites us. And moreover, God's gift of his Holy Spirit gave to Iodia and Syntyche, and it gives to us the power to do what would otherwise be too difficult, too painful, or too embarrassing. It's easy to see these two verses just an afterthought, something that Paul knew he needed to say but couldn't really find a place for in the body of a letter. But they are related to the key principle of this letter. Remember, we talked about how, based on the self-humbling of Jesus at Calvary, we focus on this key verse in chapter 2, verse 4. Each of you should look not only to our own interests, but also to the interests of others. In the light of that principle, this kind of disagreement can't be allowed to continue because it's hurting somebody else. It's not in their interests, let alone whether it's in the interests of the church. So how do we receive this teaching? Well, firstly, have you been reconciled to God? Is your name in the Book of Life? Once you're reconciled to him and know his forgiveness, grace, love and peace, your life will have changed. And you will have moved from death to life. You will have the promise of eternal life with God forever. And flowing out of that, you may even be able to do something about the difficult relationships in your life. Many Christians have a testimony of how once they came to know Jesus, that melted their hearts, and the bitterness and anger that they felt towards other people was able to be overcome. Secondly, you may be an oiodia or a syntyche. Every church I've been involved in has had an oiodia and a syntyche in them at some stage. Sometimes their issues were resolved, sometimes they weren't. Often the disagreements could break out over really trivial things, but there was something deeper behind them. Now, there are people with whom you don't always see eye to eye, but this is more serious. Is this a disagreement that people are starting to notice? A disagreement that causes you pain or hurt? Do you avoid this person or struggle to pray for them? If this is you, hear Paul's pleading. Do something about it. Lockdown maybe isn't the best time to start this, because face-to-face meetings are always the best way to achieve reconciliation. But you can make a start. Come into the Lord's presence and ask his Spirit to work in your heart. Maybe ring the other person up or write them a letter. You might not be able straight away to address the big issue, but sometimes disagreements arise because we just don't know people well enough and we don't understand where they're coming from. So just an open phone call to find out how they're doing could lead to a conversation where you begin to understand them better. And it's worth saying, for all these kinds of conversations, pray before you start and just try and be gracious and loving in how you express yourself. That can make a world of difference. And of course, help from me is always available, and that can be confidential if need be. Maybe you're, thirdly, the loyal companion. You see two people disagreeing and it causes you distress. Could you feel passionate about seeing them reconciled, but neither of them can take that first step at the moment? Could you be the one who could help them to reconcile? Again, lockdown isn't ideal, but you can still pray right. Pick up the phone. Now, I'd be delighted if there isn't anybody hearing this who thinks that they are in either of those three categories, because disunity and disagreement in the church is never good news. So let's think about how this applies to all of us in terms of, let's try to make sure that this kind of situation doesn't arise. It is all about seeking unity. See, Iodia and Syntyche didn't fall out the moment they saw each other. There would have been a process involved, and probably things went unnoticed over time because they were both pursuing their own paths. Let's commit ourselves to avoid getting to that point. Be ready to listen to the views of others. Get to know people properly. I know that many of you are spending the spare time and lockdown has afforded you to ring up other church members for a chat. That's brilliant. Please keep doing it. Pray that you might really get to know each other better. And when we do that, we can cope much better with disagreement. But most importantly, remember Jesus, who has reconciled us to God. Remember how he asked God to forgive those who crucified him. Let's be united in getting that good news out to a desperate world that is lost without him. Because the more united we are, the more effectively we can do that for his glory alone. Amen.